Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Hello, I'm Stephen Scott.
I'm Sean Preece.
And I'm Tim Schwartz.
Hey! Oh, it's the only time of the show we actually laugh together. The rest of the time, we just argue. Yes, it's Tech Talk, your technology program. Yes, believe it or not, this is a tech show. With me, as always, Sean Preece and Tim Schwartz, our happy team. Hello, guys.
Happy. I like that. We are happy. Tim, are you happy?
I'm always happy. How you doing, guys?
You had to think about it, though, didn't you?
For a split second, but I'm always happy.
Well, yes, us as tech talkers, we're back once again, and we have got so much to get through over the next hour, as we often do. We have breaking news.
That was it.
Yeah, I can't do any more intake of breath, to be honest. That's the best you're going to get. But yes, we have got some big news coming up, especially for those out there who want to be more independent. That's all I can say at this point. We'll get to the breaking news in a moment. Also, we are going to be finding out about your whines this week. Yes, this has become a thing on the show, I've noticed. People are getting in touch to tell us what they don't like. And thankfully, for us, it's not us for a change.
And who started that? So yeah, who started it? I think that's your fault, Stephen.
I believe it was.
Most things usually are my fault. So yes, it may well have been. But yeah, we're going to be hearing your whines, and some of them, I have to say, are very genuine whines. And you can share yours as well as the weeks come along. And that's not all. We are also going to be finding out about the brand new MyEye 2 from Orcam. Ian White joins us from the company. You know, guys, we've wanted to talk about Orcam with Ian for some time, but finally getting around to that conversation. Looking forward to that. And a question for Sean at the end of the show, which will mean he has to actually do some work. Shocking.
We might not have time to get to that one.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Oh, yes, we will. We will. Right, that's all coming up on this week's Tech Talk. That's such a good introduction. Right, okay. I mean, slightly over the top, but, you know, it's great. I think it's time we did this.
Hot and juicy rumour of the day.
And it's actually a bit more than a rumour. In fact, it's... Do you know, guys, that jingle just doesn't do it justice. If I'm being totally honest, that jingle does not do this story justice. I think we need something bigger. How about this? Ah, that's better.
Oh, that felt impressive. This is some news. I can't wait.
I tell you, at the end of this, you're either going to think this is the best news ever, or what on earth was all that about? This is big news. Aira, the glasses that you can wear, which also connect to an agent that can help you guide yourself around wherever you choose to go, even in your own home, help you with tasks. This is a live person who can help you, always on your ear, effectively. It's potentially now coming to the UK. And I say potentially coming to the UK because it's being trialled in the UK. And I have to say, this is big news, guys, because we've never really... We've heard a lot about maybe it's coming, you know, register your interest on the website and all that. But it's finally making its way here. They're doing tests. And I have to say, I'm very excited.
Well, as you should be after the big intro with the superhero theme music. I think this news is bigger than Batman versus Superman, quite honestly. This is great news for people in the UK. They've been hiring trainers for quite a while, as we all know. They've been trying to get things together in the UK, and to actually start testing it out, this is good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Americans, that wasn't superhero music. That was our national news theme tune. That was amazing.
I didn't want to say it was a news at nine theme.
I knew what it was, but I was going more with the superhero kind of theme of the.
It was the BBC News at 19 from the 80s, right? But, you know, let's just put that to the side. But yeah, I'll go with superhero. But no, it is good news, Sean, because finally this kind of technology is coming. I mean, does this kind of tech interest you?
Of course. Who doesn't? I mean, for the visually impaired, Aira is just amazing. And I've wanted to try this out for so long. Tim's had one for a while. I am incredibly jealous. I can't have him having something that I haven't got. But aside from that, look, you've always got a pair of eyes in your pocket. You know, how useful is that going to be? The fact that this is actually here. There are people here in the UK who are using it now, if it's on trial or whatever it is here.
Well, it is on trial. It is on trial at the moment. It's not available yet.
The service hasn't gone live yet.
No,
but,
no.
You know, the fact that they're even trialing it is fantastic news. I cannot wait.
Now, look, we're going to talk more with Aira. I've been in contact with them because, you know, no one else in the team could be bothered. So I called them. And yes, they're very keen to come on the show and explain all of this. And we're also going to hopefully speak to someone who has been trialling it in the UK as well. So that will be coming up next week. I know we're so on it this week, I tell you. These jingles are making me excited. But Tim, for those who are wondering what Aira actually is and how it works for someone, I mean, I've said it's a pair of glasses with an agent in your ear, essentially. That's a bit of a simplistic description. Explain to us what Aira is.
It is a very simplistic description. So wait, basically, as you do so well, Stephen, breaking it to its simplest component. No, what Aira really is yes, it is a pair of glasses that has a camera attached in a new version they'll be having come out here soon. They actually have a vocal assistant very similar to your Amazon Echo or Google Home to read text. But that's a whole other side of this. But at its root, at its core, what Aira is a paid service. You pay a monthly fee, which some people say is a little high. It just depends on who you are. But there's monthly fees and different tiers of fees to get you a certain amount of minutes with an Aira agent. So what you do is you can either use the video camera within the glasses or even the camera within your smartphone, dial into an agent, and then they see what your camera can see either on your phone or the glasses. And then they're able to talk to you and help you navigate. They have been trained. They get 6 months worth of training. So all the agents should have the exact same training and understanding of what your needs may be. Of course, your needs may vary from someone else. But yeah, their job is to help you read mail, you know, read signage, you know, help you navigate in a restaurant to get a menu, maybe, you know, read that, maybe even navigate, you know, up and down the street somewhere. Now, they are told and trained not to replace your cane or your dog and your mobility skills. So they will not just offer up information like the light is green or you can cross. They will not do that unless you ask. If you ask them, hey, is the light green? I'm not sure. You know, if you weren't sure and you missed it, they will answer, but they will not offer that because they know you've been trained to use your mobility skills. But anything else that you need them to do, whatever it might be, they can help you. I've had Aira agents help me navigate all kinds of different places.
I mean, yeah, that's the technical almost side of it there, Tim. But you've told me a story of how you've gone to a baseball game, you know. And when I think of something like that, and I know of someone else, another friend of mine who took a trip to New York, and anything like that as a visually impaired person, you know, it's all that planning, anxiety about will I know this, and trying to picture the layout of where you're going in your head beforehand, you know, it is stressful. And something like this, I just think it takes so much pressure off you. The fact that you could go somewhere and you know there's someone there that can, you know, guide you to a door or guide you in the right direction. For me, I think that makes all the difference in the world.
You're absolutely right, Sean. For the cost of this service, it's almost worth paying to reduce the anxiety that can happen with some sort of travel. So you're talking about when I went to the baseball game. Absolutely. That was something I tried just to see how it would work. I mean, my wife and my daughter were with me, so they could help me navigate with no problem. But I wanted to try it in that environment just to see what could they do for me. And I connected with an agent outside the ballpark. They got me through the security check. They got me through the gate and the ticket area, got me into the ballpark. With a little bit of effort, we were able to find the escalator to get me up to the next level where my seats are. That I only say some effort because they were having trouble seeing the signs where I was looking, but they were very good at saying, you know, look a little to the left, look a little up. Okay, I see the sign. It's pointing this direction.
Yeah.
So that it's very helpful in that respect. They got me all the way to my seat. When I got to my seat, they said, okay, hold still for a second. They took a great picture of the field that I could have. Doing that was a really good test of it. I've heard people talk about using this in an airport, and this is what really was amazing to me the first time I heard stories like this. And I know the story you're talking about with traveling to New York. There are people who have said they've walked into an airport, gotten through the check-in and security, and well, obviously right after security, because you have to obviously, you know, check it through, but get on your plane, get off the plane, and once you get into your gate, get all the way from the gate to baggage claim only using an IRA agent. So you imagine the amount of independence and the lower anxiety, like you talked about, Sean, of being able to get off of a plane, put on the IRA, contact an agent, and not have to worry about waiting around for somebody to guide you, or you know, they just want to get you a wheelchair and you have to wait, you know, an hour to get a wheelchair or whatever it is, you know, or get one of those electric carts to come get you or whatever it might be.
Oh, I love them.
You know, well, I do love them, but you have to sometimes wait forever. but it's nice to be able to just contact an IRA agent and say, okay, I need to get the baggage claim, and they'll look at the signs around you and tell you which way you need to go. And if you describe your luggage to them, or if you've actually had the forethought, you can take pictures of your luggage and upload it to your account. So your IRA agent can actually see what your luggage would look like. So as it's coming around and around in the baggage claim area, they may even see it and say, oh, yep, I see your luggage. It's over this way. And then get you guided out to the street, and they can actually order up an Uber or a Lyft for you, I believe, and get you on your way. All of that with an IRA agent, totally independent, you know, of course, you know, with the IRA agent's help.
I've got to say, I mean, you know, sign me up now. Take my money is what I'm thinking, because it just all of that sounds incredible. You know, I travel a lot. I travel on planes and on trains, and I do it, but I always have to do it with assistance, which is annoying from a perspective of at least the flying side of it. And because a really simple thing, and it sounds silly perhaps, but you know, when you go to an airport and you get assistance, generally I find that you get plonked in this place, the disabled zone, where no one else may enter. It's the VIP area for disabled people. And we get plonked there and left. And then eventually someone comes and takes us to the gate, bypassing all the shops and all the experience of the airport that you might want to enjoy. Now, you might not. That's fine. But if you did, you don't really have the option. And on one occasion, I did say to a woman, very, very pleasant woman, and they always are. The assistants are fantastic. And I just, you know, let's not forget that in all of this. But the problem is that you're going to the gate. And I said to the woman, you know, I'd love to just stop at the electrical store just for a minute, just have a look around. And she said, not a problem. But you know that way you're thinking, yeah, but you need to get back to get somebody else. Yeah. And now I can't, and I have to rush around. And even if she said, look, take the whole day, I don't mind, you'd still feel bad about it. Whereas this, you know, you're paying for a service. I think that's, you know, that would be much better. And also not just that, you're paying for a service that can help you in that environment. So you can walk around a shop and not think, I wonder what this is. I know I've left shops. In fact, come to think of it, this is the best example I can probably come up with, which is I was once in an Apple store. There's a shock. And I was once in an Apple store, and they sell lots of accessories for, you know, phones, and they sell lots of other stuff as well. And the store, to me, I just couldn't find any of this stuff. Now, you could say, well, why didn't you ask anyone? Well, you know, finding people's often the challenge as well. And I left the store. Two times I'd been into that store. The third time I'd gone in, someone said to me, oh, what are you looking for? And I said, oh, I'm looking for accessories, but you don't do any in here. And he said, oh, yeah, they're upstairs. And I said, okay, how do you do that? Where's the stairs?
Stairs?
And eventually, I didn't even know there were stairs in the place. So, you know, this is where IRA, to me, can help out. These are simple things. They are simple things, but they make such a difference. They complete the circle of your experience. You can go to a shop, you can try things out. I think about my wife, who goes clothes shopping a lot, and she loves going buying clothes, but she really struggles to find the sizes. You know, what colour is that? You know, and all of this. And just to have that voice in your ear, it's a really great comfort. I think that, partnered with a guide dog, well, you'd be set for life, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It just seems like the perfect product for us.
I almost get emotional. I almost get emotional about it.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's just because we can see so many situations where, oh, if only I had this then, you know? I once, Ben,
yeah.
And I mean, you know, hedge story. I know I've got a lot of stories, but I once spent 40 minutes wandering around a department store in the lower floor trying to find the escalator to get out of the place. And I swear I must have been there for 40 minutes trying to find the escalator up. And I was nearly in tears. I don't mind admitting it. I'm a 40-year-old man. And I was nearly in tears. It is so frustrating. And something like that would have been amazing. And there's a thousand stories that I'm sure most of us have got where this just will make a difference.
Yeah, for all those times that you spend all those minutes or hours wandering places trying to find something that should have been easy to find, Ira is going to be your friend when it comes to that. And what's really neat is their business model is truly all about helping people that are blind and visually impaired. Last fall, I had had the honor to speak with their sales manager. And I say honor because typically you say all the sales managers at Ira, big deal. But their sales manager here in the States is Michael Hinkson, who has written many books and speaks all over the world about his escape from the Twin Towers on 9/11. And so a very interesting man to speak with. And he said, no, our goal is to make sure that this is accessible. We're hoping that we can bring the price down over time so the prices aren't locked. We are hoping that the more users we get, the lower we can make the prices. We want to go all over the world. And one of their big initiatives here in the States, and I really hope that they bring this to the UK, and I'm sure they will, is they've done what they call geofencing. So for anybody not familiar, you basically put a virtual fence around an area and lock that in on your GPS, on your smartphone. And so a lot of airports have partnered with Ira here in the United States. A couple cities have done it. During CSUN, all of San Diego was fenced in. During the Boston Marathon, it was fenced in. And what that meant was when Ira detected that you were within that area, you didn't use any of your minutes. So you didn't have to burn up any minutes to use it. It was unlimited in those airports and in those areas. And there's many airports, and they always report more and more coming all the time. Restaurants have gotten on board with this to say, yeah, we'll pay a little fee to Ira to give blind people the ability to use it in our restaurant or our place without using minutes. So to me, that's an additional bonus that just shows how Ira is committed to making sure people get access to this.
Yeah. Now, look, I mean, we could talk about this for the whole hour, quite frankly.
We could.
And I could, for sure. I think we've all got stories we could share, you know, especially like your one there, Sean, about being lost. I remember, I'll just quickly say this one, being almost exactly the same scenario, stuck in a shopping centre, big, big department store. And it must have been obvious to staff because someone came up to me and said, are you okay? Are you looking for something in particular? She said, and I said, well, yeah, I'm looking for the door. And she said, yeah, she said, I did notice you've been around here about four times. So she said, I just assumed something might not be right. And I said, okay. And she took me to the door. And you just feel like a complete idiot, quite frankly. So, you know, this kind of thing can just, you know, it just changes things. But anyway, look, that is a great story. I'm very excited about it. We will have more on that story next week. I say more on it. We just talked about it for another 20 minutes. But, you know, look, we will talk more about it because I want to get to something else this week that's been kind of burning. And it's kind of the opposite of this to some degree. It's our weekly wine. Oh, glass, anyone?
This is a thing now, is it?
It is a thing. It's become a thing. And Tim has been on Voreal, the social media app for, well, it's not for blind people, but blind people do tend to use it quite a lot. And we do as well. So Tim very kindly put up a question for us to get your views, your whines, or just to see if even we should be whining at all. Let's get our first comment then. What do you have to say?
There is absolutely reason for whining because lately much household gear has extreme lack of accessibility. We have a clothes dryer, a new one from Bosch, actually, with touch keys on. We labeled it, but it's still not the easiest machine to operate. Absolutely not. Funny enough, they make a dial with very, very good clear clicks when you turn the dial. No problem. But all other stuff is operated via a touchscreen. This is an increasing problem also when you're cooking on the later models of induction plates. You'll have to use finger touch, and that's not appropriate, and that's not easy for us when we're operating with very high temperatures. So all in all, I think we are worse. Our independency is being threatened by all this kitchen and household stuff that doesn't work properly.
Interesting one to kick things off then in our weekly whine this week. You know, and I say weekly whine like it's a bad thing. I think we do need to vent a little bit. And, you know, it's important that we don't always say how great technology is. I think it was Brian there who sent in that message from the Netherlands. And he, you know, clearly isn't happy around white goods. This is a topic we haven't really got into much, partly because we don't talk about technology that isn't accessible very often. Maybe we should. But this is an area of concern for a lot of blind people. How do you use the dishwasher, the whatever else, you know, when you can't see, because these devices aren't accessible.
It used to be the case that these were mostly, you know, mechanical push button or dial, like Brian said there. But most of them now have some sort of, you know, touch screen or some LCD display. I have found the same thing. It does feel like we are on the sort of the edge of, okay, these things are going to get connected. There is going to be an app for that, and hopefully that'll be accessible. But he's absolutely right. For the last few years, the move towards touchscreen has become an issue for us when it comes to white goods like that.
And it's a shame that that's been the trend, you know, that's gone on. And unfortunately for us, that's been a hindrance. I get for, you know, mainstream, for sighted people, it's not a problem. They can see these buttons and touch them. And, you know, we've just had to kind of cope with it, unfortunately. But it is definitely an issue that we should talk about more. Now, I did mention later on in that post in reference to this question or this point from Brian that I'm encouraged because every year at all the tech shows, we see companies like Amazon saying, hey, we're going to put our Lady A, you know, Echo technology into your home appliances, into these white goods. I know that's far off, that's down the road, but I'm hopeful that if that works as well as the Echo device does itself, I can just talk to a stove or an oven or a microwave and just say, heat, you know, 3 minutes, start, whatever, you know, whatever it might be. And that there can be that level of interaction where I don't have to worry about buttons anymore. I don't have to worry about dials. I don't have to worry about, you know, LCD screens or LED screens. I can just talk to it. I know that's not around the corner necessarily, but it's encouraging because that could be something that could really help us in this area. But up to now, it is difficult. And if you want to get something accessible, like an accessible microwave or something, you end up paying two times or more the price to get that accessibility. And that's not right either.
I think, you know, taking that point forward, I mean, yeah, you're right. The Lady A in the dishwasher or the stove or whatever, you know, is going to be fantastic for us. That's the first thing. But the second thing is that it's mainstream.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry that this technology is just going to live on for a while and then if it doesn't sell, that's it. I mean, I often worry about things like talking microwaves and that kind of technology. Not to say it's on the way out at all, but I just worry that because it's not mass market, that, you know, will there be the investment? And, you know, how does that move forward? I always remember a great example of this was Pure, or the radio makers. They, here in the UK, they made a bunch of DAB digital radios that had speech in them. It was a Pure Evoke 1, I think it was, the radio, and it had speech in it. The problem was that the speech only worked for the radio stations at the time. Radio stations on DAB seemed to change every 5 minutes. And as soon as a new station was added or one changed, it would still say the old name. So if it was Heart Radio, then it would say Heart, and it might be Classic FM at that point. And, you know, that was a problem because, you know, hang on a minute, this isn't Heart. You know, so it's just about how do you, you know, how do we move this forward? And the only way you can do it is collectively. So, no, good point to bring up. Thank you to Brian for that. Right, let's get another whine in then. Come on, another glass. I can't think what state we'll be in by the end of this. Right, what else have you got to say?
I'll tell you what absolutely drives me nuts is going on a website and trying to fill out something and that CAPTCHA crap comes up. That CAPTCHA stuff drives me crazy. And I saw an app where you can get it, but you have to pay so much a month to have that to help you not do the CAPTCHA. Anyway, any suggestions on CAPTCHA?
Well, that's a nuisance, quite frankly. Any CAPTCHA is just a nightmare. But is there a way around it, guys?
She had a strong opinion on that. I liked it.
Yeah, quite right.
CAPTCHA is a nightmare. Luckily, we are moving away from that. We now have the tick box, I am not a robot, which is the latest Google CAPTCHA. And a lot of things are picking that up. But aside from that, no, Capture is just a terrible, terrible idea. Even the audio ones, you know, you can tab along and it'll say, play an audio version. And I can't understand anything it's saying at all. You know, I've always got to get sighted assistance for captures, but luckily they are dying out. But yeah, that's a legitimate whine, I think.
Yeah, that is definitely a legitimate whine because, like you said, Sean, even the audio captures where they think, oh, well, this is great. We'll just make this easy for the blind. They can listen to an audio. No, we can't. It's just the worst kind of, I don't even know. It's like a cruel joke, quite honestly, to listen to these audio captures because they're, you know, talking in different levels of pitch and tone.
Do you know what it's like? It's like standing on a train platform while a train's coming in and someone on the other platform, however far away, whispering a number at you. That's essentially what it's like.
At the same time as they're taking the tone of their voice up and down and up and down, back and forth, right?
Yeah.
It's awful and it's just not easy. And I made the point, like Sean did, about, you know, the easy ones that Google is trying to implement, or even the simpler ones to just say, you know, just as simple as, you know, I'm not a bot and click here, or a simple, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 and just fill in the math problem or something. Just something simple to prove that you're not a bot. That's all a CAPTCHA is supposed to be for, is to prove that you're a human, that you're not some computer trying to get it, you know, erroneously or what have you. So, or inappropriately, I should say. So,
but there is a problem, though, with some of those. I'm sure the I'm not a robot ones that you tick also can sometimes bring up a second level of security, I guess, where it'll say things like, click on the pictures that have got a tree in them or whatever.
Right.
And at that point, I'm lost. You know, that's it. It's finished for me, and I have to get someone else to help
true.
Me with it.
Yeah. But they do also have an audio option, which tends to be a lot easier to understand because I did get that one recently.
Right, okay.
And the audio thing I could understand totally, and it gave me time in between the numbers to actually type at the same time.
And that's the thing.
So they can work good, well, actually. But most of them don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. The audio ones wouldn't be so bad if they were clear and understandable. And again, like you said, gives you a little bit of time to write down what, or, you know, type in what you're hearing. Why do we have to make it so hard to hear it and understand? So yeah, CAPTCHA is definitely a good one.
Okay. Shall we have another glass of wine, shall we?
Another round, gentlemen.
Why not? I'm in the mood now. Make mine a pint.
A pint of wine.
Yours is always
right.
A pint.
Here's another one.
So thanks for giving me the space to bitch and whine about accessibility, because I've got plenty of stories. So I don't like a lot of websites that are graphically inclined, loads of websites that you have that have buttons that are unlabeled, or buttons that when you click they seem to do nothing. A lot of dating websites. Match is pretty accessible, but you have to pay for Match. Plenty of Fish is probably one of the only free accessible websites. I think there's maybe one or two features that kind of are not accessible. I don't really notice it all that much because they probably may have fixed it already.
Okay, so inaccessible websites, a good wine, do we think, an acceptable wine?
That's a vintage wine, isn't it? That's something we've spoken about, definitely. Absolutely. Again, I'm very positive about this. You know, I think we're getting there. The work is being done. Flash was a nightmare for accessibility, and a lot of shopping sites used the Flash medium, and they're just totally inaccessible. As for dating sites, I can say, as a man in a committed relationship, I have no idea. Honest.
Yeah, I think we're all the same.
Yeah,
on that
I haven't
one,
used
the
dating website since, well, when I had Vision, actually, to be very honest. And I didn't have any issues with accessibility then because I could see most of the site. But this person is correct on that my understanding is a lot of dating websites aren't accessible, like some other mainstream websites sometimes don't seem to be. And that's not good either. So, yeah, like Sean said, this is definitely a vintage wine that goes back, an argument that goes back quite a while, because websites as positive as we want to be and where we say, well, you know, we probably are better than we have been or better than we could be or better than we've been, we still could be a lot better. So, yeah, there's some room to grow here.
Yeah, I do think dating websites is an interesting one because, you know, we're all married guys, you know, so we're all kind of sitting here going, yeah, you know, we don't need this. And that's fine. But, you know, it is fair to say that if you are blind, if you live alone or you live with friends or, you know, you're sharing, flat sharing or whatever, the whole thing around meeting people can be very difficult. And dating websites sounds actually like a really good way of doing it. I suppose the short way around it, again, if it's accessible, is the app. Maybe the app is more accessible than the website. I've tended to find that apps are more accessible than websites. Not always, but sometimes. I mean, we use Dropbox for the show. Dropbox is fairly inaccessible to me on the website. It's doable, but it's a bit of a nightmare. Whereas on the app, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so there are websites that have got that. But, you know, maybe that's... But I do find it interesting, your positivity, Sean. I've always found that rather interesting. And that leads in nicely to our next whine of the week. Right, one more glass, guys. We'll have one more glass, all right? Because that's quite enough, quite frankly. Always drink responsibly. And we're not doing that very well this week. Right, here we go.
So I think... And I don't have a specific one in mind. There's two areas that do get to me, though, when they don't work right. One is when a site has worked before, and I am dependent on, based on my position in the family, you know, that kind of thing, to take care of something that requires that site. So now I have to ask somebody else to do that, when maybe they don't have the... Maybe they're busy doing something else at that point, because I usually do. And the second one... is when you have to use a particular site or service to do something, like set up an appointment or whatever it is you need to do, and it doesn't work right for us. So the difference between now and, let's just say, 25, 30 years ago, is that we have a wonderful suite of tools and there's so much we can do. It's actually a lot harder for us to justify getting assistance now than it used to be, even though... Many of us were, I guess, what they would call independent before there was the internet, before there was all these things. We still did stuff by ourselves. We still handled things as a matter of just being the way we were. But now, so much works, which is wonderful. It works so much better than it did 10, 15 years ago, that when something doesn't work, that's actually kind of hard. Because whenever something begins to work... I mean, nature loves, abhors a vacuum and also goes the path of least resistance. So as soon as something begins to work, it's actually more efficient for us to just use it than it is to continue and do it the old way, like as in you have to have somebody else do it or something. And the natural expectation can become that, oh, well, he can just do that. She can just do that. And that's fair. Because it now works, so that makes a lot of sense. But it can be hard to explain sometimes that I can do all that unless the system no longer works for us. If they make a change that breaks it for us.
So, in summary with that one, it's great until it stops working. And not only that, you've then got the expectation from other people that, well, you could do it yesterday. Why can't you do it today? And trying to educate people around that. I think that's a really interesting point, or two points, actually, this guy puts forward.
And in this particular case, his point of view, he's actually an IT specialist who just happens to be blind. And I smiled when I heard his response because, you know, the three of us aren't necessarily IT specialists, but we are those guys in our family that... something tech happens or there's a tech question, when you guys agree, we're the ones that kind of get the phone call, say, hey, yeah, how do I fix this? How do I work on that? My computer's not working, or my phone, you know. So we get those calls, and because he is an IT specialist by trade, he absolutely gets those calls. So in a case like that, where you're the one that's used to getting that call, even though you might be blind, people still may respect that you know the tech. They call you up and say, hey, can you help me with this? And you go to check it and you're like, oh yeah, that's accessible. I can get that. Oh wait, no, it's broke. It's not accessible anymore. I can't get in there. I'm sorry. That's very frustrating. I mean, that's just his particular point of view, but broadening that out, just in general, yeah, if you're used to something working and it's worked for a while, maybe, and then all of a sudden it's broken, that can really be a hindrance and be a problem.
Yeah, everything is just so delicate, isn't it? It only takes one thing. As we got a recent email about the banking site not working, you know, and the banker saying, no, we haven't made any changes. And you know, there's one little change that's been made there that's totally thrown all the accessibility, you know, out. And it's just little things like that. And he's absolutely right. We are sort of used to it. Is it a sense of entitlement? I don't think so. It's just we get used to it working. And when it's not there, it's frustrating. A lot like audio description. Let's not get back into that, though.
Yeah. It's too easy, isn't it? But it's interesting. I mean, so these comments we got, and just to clarify for our listeners, these all came from an app called Voreal, which is a social media site, essentially, for anybody who wants to be part of it. But if you're blind, go on there. You can join our conversations that we have. Tim, Sean and I post regularly asking various questions, not just for Tech Talk, but I post for the Weekly Connect as well. And you know, any questions that come up, we get loads of answers, and we make it very clear that your answer might be used on air. If you don't want it to be used, tell us, and that's fine. We don't always get people's names, because often people use handles that don't reflect their name. So we just, you know, we thank you for your comments, but we don't name you unless you want to be named. But this guy, the IT specialist, Tim, that you were talking to on this thread, very interestingly, he made a line near the end, which we couldn't play the whole thing. He spoke for some time and said very valid points. But one thing he said at the end, which really stood out for me, was when something goes wrong, it's like 1985 all over again in 2018.
It's true.
And I just loved that way of describing it. You know, it just puts you right back into a position where, oh, I can't do this, but I should be able to. It's not like there isn't an answer. There is an answer. There's a way to fix this.
There has to be a way to fix it. And unfortunately, that is the case. And he hasn't earned the nickname on Voreal the professor for nothing, because you're absolutely right. He does, you know, think about that kind of thing. And that's a situation where if it does break, if something does go wrong, yeah, you feel like you're back in the dark ages of technology, which for us would be the mid-80s, I guess, would qualify for the dark ages. But yeah, it is definitely problematic. But I do encourage people, like you said before, you know, if they want to listen to more about what we're posting there for Tech Talk or other shows, like you said, on R&B, here it comes. Wait for it. Quick plug. I also post for Life After Blindness on there as well.
It's been a while.
I know.
It had to be done.
Yes.
It has been a while.
I had to get it in there sometime. But no, Voreal is a very good way to express your opinions with other people that are blind, or with us especially. And we've definitely taken it over.
Yeah, we have. We'll leave it there. Thank you for your whines. If you want to add more, then we're always welcome to it. We're not going to moan every week. And actually, I don't think any of those were moans. I think they were all very genuine concerns around accessibility. And I thank you for taking this topic so seriously. If you want to add your voice, and I think a few more might come up in the emails, then we will get to those on next week's programme. You can email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That app I'm talking about is called Voreal. That's V-O-Rail, as in railway, I guess. Rail. So yeah, check it out. Right, time to talk about Orcam then. I'm so glad we're able to do this week. Ian White is from Orcam and joins me now. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. And really good to have you here in the studio, because, you know, I'm often accused of not having a clue about what I'm talking about. So I thought, okay, fine, let's get someone who does. And in particular, in relation to Orcam, because, you know, one of the things about Orcam is I've heard a lot about it. I've tried it maybe once a couple of years back. And I thought it was maybe time that we got a bit of an update, because, of course, you have a bit of an update for us on it. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. First things first, Ian, I think it's important for people to know what Orcam actually is.
Well, Stephen, Orcam is a smart camera that fits neatly to the leg of your eyeglasses, and by the simple motion of one, either pointing your finger, or two, using the trigger button on the base unit, Orcam will read any printed text from any platform, like a book, a letter, a newspaper, or even a menu in your favourite restaurant.
Now, the reason we got you in was because Orcam have released Orcam version 2, and I know you're quite keen to tell us about it. I know it's almost flying itself off the shelves because it's so popular, and I can understand why. I mean, just before we came in here, you let me hold the device, which attaches. It's a camera that attaches to a pair of glasses. If you don't wear glasses, you get glasses with the package, which you get anyway, I believe, but you can actually fix them to your own glasses. So I wear sunglasses a lot of the time, so that would easily connect to mine. Tell us about version 2 and what's so special about this version.
Okay, so version 2, Orcam Mi-I version 2, is a smart cam that's been redefined totally. It's just a smart camera, as I said previously, that fits neatly to the leg of your eyeglasses. And we do that by using magnets. And there's two magnets at the back of the camera that will clip onto a magnet, which is placed on the leg of your eyewear. When I say redefined, out goes the wire it's connected to the bass unit, out goes the bass unit.
So there used to be a wire that was connected to the camera that, you know, you would have to, the wire would trail down to a little box you would hold in your hand to use. All that's gone.
That's all gone. Everything that happens, happens in the camera. That's how far advanced the technology has came along since we released our first Orcam in 2015. The speech package is more enhanced. The spontaneousness of it is absolutely remarkable. And it's just a whole new look for Orcam. It's actually been nicknamed the Mini Wireless Wonder because it has wireless Wi-Fi capabilities attached to it as well now.
Right.
What this would mean is that when a trainer comes to train a potential client to use the Orcam, we set up their network settings to the new ME2. And every time you plug in your charger and you charge your Orcam up, it will automatically log on to your home network. It will scan for any updates or downloads. It will do it automatically. And then when you disconnect the charger, after it's fully charged, it disconnects your Wi-Fi. And that's the only time that you require a Wi-Fi setting, is when you're charging your Orcam up.
So one of my desires in life is to sit on a beach and read a book. And I can sit on a beach. That's about the height of it. But the book reading part is an absolute no-no, at least in the sense of being able to read the printed word. Does Orcam solve that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no better feeling than sitting in a lilo at a poolside, having a cool beer with an Ian Rankin book in your hand and just simply open the page, stare at it for about 2 seconds, and Orcam will automatically read across the two pages. When it's finished the two pages, you'll hear a little chime, and that indicates that it's read all the text that it can see, and you just move the page over and lift the book up again, and away it goes again. That's how simple it is, and it makes reading a pleasure because, one, you're getting back to interacting with a book. You know, you've got the book in your hand, you're turning the pages, and it gives you that little bit of independence back, Stephen, that you would normally miss in life.
Let me ask you one of the questions I imagine you're probably asked quite a lot by people who want to maybe poke you in the side when they meet you. And that is, okay, so I've got a smartphone and I've got Seeing AI. How does it compare? I bet you get that a lot, do you?
Yeah, actually. The funny thing was, I just done an interview in this in comparison. Listen, I've got Seeing AI in my phone, and I will admit that the vast majority of the Orcam staff have it as well. And as someone who's with a low visual impairment, I use it from time to time. However, there's a downside to using Seeing AI compared to Orcam. Seeing AI, you have to take your phone out, you have to be connected to your Wi-Fi. If you're taking a facial image, there's a long process involved where you have to hold your phone up to someone, you have to take 3 photographs, then you have to type in their name, then you have to save it to the file. And then if you want to use it, you have to take your phone out and put your phone up in front of them before it recognises them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're taking your phone out, and to be honest with you, Stephen, you become a bit vulnerable in that respect. You know, because if you're blind or visually impaired and you're taking your phone out and you're holding it out in front of you, there is a really good chance somebody's going to swipe it from you.
Yeah, you don't know who's around.
That's right. You just don't know who's at your back, or you don't know, you know. So that's the kind of risk you take. With Orcam, it's mounted to your glasses. It's very discreet. If you have a facial image in there of a known person like yourself, for example, and I met you at Sainsbury's or Morrison's across the road, and you were walking towards me, Orcam will automatically recognise you from about 3 to 4 metres.
I mean, that alone is incredible. I mean, the idea of looking for someone, I can imagine that could be really useful, but also just that being aware of who's around you. You know, if you had all your colleagues in there, and you're walking down the street, and as you say, you know, where we work here, we have a supermarket near us. You know, you go to the supermarket for lunch, you walk by people. I've probably walked by more staff, you know, just walking past them, no idea they're even there. And, you know, that knowledge of being able to say, oh, hello, hi, Ian, how are you? You know, just that would be lovely. That's a great feature. Okay, so how much does all this cost?
Oh, you like to spoil an interview, don't you?
Has to be asked, Ian. I have to ask the question. They'll lynch me if I don't.
Okay. Orcam 2.0 is costing £3,500.
So it's a considered purchase.
Yeah, it is. But the way I look at it is, how much do you value that little bit of independence? You know. However, if you're an existing Orcam user...
Yeah, I was going to ask this. Well, at the moment, got one.
Yeah, if you're an existing Orcam user, Orcam will offer you the chance to trade your either Orcam 1 or 1.5 in. We will give you a £1,000 buyback.
Right.
So initially, it would cost you £2,500. You know, if you're a current Orcam user, that's and you've had your Orcam for a year or so, that's really good value. You know, it's good because you're upgrading and you're getting the latest technology, and it's so easy to use. It's all done with a touchpad. You know, if you want volume up, you stroke it. If you want volume down, you stroke it back the way. If you want to enter the setup menu, it's very, very simple and easy to understand. And it's all done in a way that it's not tech-based. You know, it's not using technical jargon. It's using what we call layman's terms. It's very simplified, and you can use it. I've actually been quite amazed how many people have taken to it so fast. And it's very easy, you know, to use on a day-to-day basis.
What if you can't afford that today? What if I, you know, so like me, for example, you know, credit card's still bulging a bit after Christmas, can't quite commit to that kind of level of spend at the moment. Is there an option there?
We work with a third party financial house, and you can buy the Orcam over a 12-month period at interest-free.
Right, okay.
So basically, we call the company up, and then they have a chat with you over the phone and set it all up for you.
Okay, so that's the option. Your job, Ian, is to essentially go around the country and show people this. So I guess the key message out of this is, if you're unsure or you're intrigued by it, ask, you know, get in touch, and you know, maybe you'll turn up at the front door.
Yeah, there's no harm in you know, having a look at Orcam. You know, that's what we're there for. You know, you can contact the company through our website at orcam.com, and you can ask for a demonstration, or simply ask your local sensory impairment team to look into it for you, and they can make a referral for a demonstration, and we could do that as well.
Okay, so many options available.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ian, thanks so much for bringing Orcam in to see us, and we look forward to hearing more about it, and, you know, I'll look forward to speaking to you when Orcam 3 is launched. And who knows what that'll be like. We built into our heads by that point, I'd imagine.
A way out there. Thanks very much for having us, Stephen.
Thanks, Ian. All right, guys, time for this.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Come up with this stuff.
Here's your mail today.
Right, okay. Did I honestly sanction this at some point? I mean, did I?
I think this was my idea, Stephen. I think that, yes, absolutely. And I'm singing along. I'm ashamed to admit it.
I think the same loopy stuff that the people that make audio captures are on are were the people that made that, I think.
It's the same people, yeah, exactly. Listen, Chris is back with us. Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, Tech Talkers.
Hey, Chris.
What a warm welcome. This is the sort of welcome that I don't get at home.
Yeah, and you won't get it again in here. Right, let's get to the emails then. And I want to kind of kick off by looking back a little bit, Chris, with our first email.
So this first email is from Rod Carn, following Sean's comment about difficulties, Sean, that you had with the Virgin Trains app. Hi, Sean. Yep. Virgin Train app, try altering the punctuation setting on the rotor. It worked for me on an app where the figures were not spoken.
Now, just to clarify, Sean, you were having problems getting access to the train times, I think, on the ticket, wasn't it? Or even just in the app itself, you could... It would tell you train time, but then the time itself wouldn't be spoken.
That's right, yeah. So it would give me all what the information should be, VoiceOver would read out, but it wouldn't read what the actual information, platform, train times. So I'm definitely going to try that. Thanks a lot. It's a good point. I haven't actually looked into that, so I will try it and get back to you.
Okay, Chris, what else?
So next email from Claire. Hi all, love the show as always. I had to get my oar in. I recently migrated from XP, Office 2003, to Windows 10, Office 365, and what a shock it was. I've never had any real issues with Supernova, seemed to work perfectly, save for the odd crash, with which one learns to live with, and this remains my screen reader choice. But it was a different story when the upgrade took place last year. The issue was not so much as Supernova, but more the changes Microsoft made, i.e. the menus were no longer identical as in XP or Office 2003. There were new and different keyboards, shortcuts to learn along with new terminology for basic functions. And the keyboard shortcuts were for the US, not the European Union keyboards. So some of these don't work. One just has to do everything manually, and I have given up trying to learn new shortcuts. I had issues for 3 months and still discovering new ones, and needless to say, my productivity decreased to the extent of work being taken off of me, which was to say at the least humiliating, as the issue was nothing to do with my actual performance, but only the IT kit was no longer user-friendly as in previous versions. I'm getting used to it, but my view is that the Windows 10 Office 365 is a bit clunky for the most basic functions at times. I feel Microsoft could have done more to ensure changes they made also worked for visually impaired users. I find there's a lot that is really aimed for the sighted, and there is a lot of clutter on the screen, i.e. one which I found amusing, the current temperature when in diary view. Visually impaired users can do without unnecessary information on the screen. And I do sympathise with Matthew Clark. If it helps, speak to Dolphin. I have found them to be very helpful, and they do want to learn of issues, so can provide a fix. Keep up the good work, Tech Talkers. Love the banter. And of course, Alexa from Claire.
Ah, how nice. Thank you, Claire. And, great email. I have to say, Supernova is not one I'm fully aware of. I used to use it, but it was a long time ago. But guys, this is the problem, isn't it? That software comes along and it's not Supernova's fault in this case. It's the changes that are made. Although jumping from 2003 Office to the very latest, that's a big learning curve. And, like Claire says, lots of new keyboard shortcuts, terminology to learn. It's difficult.
Yeah, there's a lot involved when you definitely have that difference of software. You're relying on a particular screen reader to help you. I mean, talk about something that worked and then doesn't work anymore and how frustrating that can be. And especially in her case where it's affecting her everyday life and her job. So, I mean, that definitely can be a big problem. And again, like they said, get in touch with Dolphin, see what you can do to get this corrected. But something like Microsoft Office, you would think this wouldn't be an issue, but it just goes to show it can happen to the best of them.
If you're going from something like XP, I think the XP to Windows 10, of course there's issues in Windows 10, but I do think that's less of an issue. I think the word is more of the problem there. The ribbon at the top instead of the menu bar, it's still an issue for me. I still struggle with the ribbon at the top.
I hate it.
It's so difficult to navigate, and I still forget the keyboard commands now.
Yeah.
So I feel your pain. Just to say, on Dolphin, I did get a tweet about Supernova and Surface Pro having issues again, and I quoted that that tweet to Dolphin, and they responded straight away. They didn't know of the problem themselves, but they did say, get in touch and we will sort this as soon as we can. So they are definitely, their support is really good, so get in touch with them.
And also Dolphin will be on the programme in a couple of weeks' time. They're coming on to tell us about some of their products, so we can maybe even ask about some of these things as well. But we do know from experience, certainly from my experience, that Dolphin support is excellent, UK-based and all that, so they're always here to help.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get another email, Chris, and this one is following on from our report. We did a bit on this last week on the show. The Department of Work and Pensions Select Committee put out a report around assistive technology.
Absolutely, and this email comes from Brian Gaff. Well, not read the report, but my feelings are these. The history of PIP has been, let's save money. I think it would be the start of a slippery slope if they start telling people what they can and cannot spend their money on. I got DLA for life and feel that already they have betrayed the trust by going back on the promise. Using idiot so-called experts in face-to-face meetings who are mostly rude and whose knowledge of sight loss can be written on a grain of rice is another reason why I simply would not trust this idea. It sounds like they're taking benefit away in lieu of tech, which you lease, and hence saving money on access to work, which is where this expenditure belongs. Only yourself and your prospective employer can decide what you want, and in no way should this affect PIP at all, as this is, by its name, personal, i.e. nothing to do with what some drongo in Whitehall thinks. You need... If I want to
live... Don't hold back, Brian.
If I want to live independently and not have a smartphone or a computer but spend my PIP on a PA to help with such things, then this is my choice and my life. Nobody else has any right telling me that I have to have this or nothing. Increasingly, we need money for transport, and trying to align tech with a car is just stupid. This is what I think, and it's about time RNIB and others stood firm on the erosion of the independence we won. That's from Brian.
Well, that's an interesting one, Brian. I don't think there was a suggestion. I just pick Brian up on that. I don't think there was a suggestion of using personal independence payment at work. I think this was for personal use. So the idea is that if I wanted to have a Braille display, if I don't work, for example, or I'm just at home want to use Braille, then I would be able to do that. And I could buy that device, say, $7,000 worth of kit or $4,000 worth of kit through my personal independence payment. But at work... the access to work technology would be more open to a whole wider range of technology, a wider gamut, rather than just the obvious players, if you like, in the field. That was my interpretation of it, Sean.
Yeah, I don't think there's... Look, I think these are the concerns in the community that he's voiced here. So I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I don't think there's any... you know, you need to buy this equipment using this money. I'm hoping anyway, but I don't think that is being put across. But it's just another option for us.
That's what we hope doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen. And, you know, that is some of the problems and some of the concerns in the community. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Okay. Listen, we're out of time. But before we go, I just wanted to bring in one comment. I interviewed a lovely woman called Sheila. She works for the Torch Trust. She's going to be on the Weekly Connect in a couple of weeks' time. But while she was in, she said, I've got a question for our Sean, if you wouldn't mind. So, Sean, this is for you.
Sean, you did an amazing job of your NVDA how to download it and get it going and everything, and I know that's been very popular, but I've got a question for you. Can you do a similar feature on how to do audio editing as a totally blind person?
Oh, thank you so much for that, Sheila. That's so nice of you. Yes, I've been slacking on my features recently, but I am getting back on top, and I will get back to them as soon as I can. There's a few I've been requested to do, and I will add this one on my to-do list, and I promise I will get this done. Maybe.
Yeah. Don't be burying that now.
Until
Sean.
He puns it off on one Maybe. Of us, Stephen, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'll have to go and learn Audacity so that I can do the things so he doesn't have to. Typical. Chris, thank you again for coming in.
Very welcome, Tech Talkers.
And guys, thank you again for being here. Sean and Tim, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
And don't forget the podcast. There's loads more on there. If you're into your tech, you'll love the podcast. Check it out. Search for it, RNIB Tech Talk, and we'll catch you again next time. Keep your emails coming in as well. Tech Talk at rnib.org.uk.